Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 777. It's the 16th of May, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources. And Dave gives details of the 5 exploration licenses they've been awarded in Togo, which cover previously discovered cobalt and nickel mineralization. Also on the podcast, David Bramall, Chairman of Union Jack Oil, that's UJO ticker. And David goes over some of the highlights from their full year results and talks about what he's looking forward to this year. Plus, I also have Bonnie Hughes, mining specialist at Northland Capital Partners. And Bonnie covers Cadence Day, ticker there's KDNC. And as always, I have the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top 5 most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources. KRS is ticker there. Dave, thanks for joining me.
Morning, Justin.
Now, we've got a bit of news to get through, and I know you're doing your travels there. You're down in Australia at the moment, is that correct?
Yeah, in Australia. Been on a roadshow around Australia the last week and heading off to Asia tomorrow.
Marvellous stuff. Now, if someone's tuning into this podcast for the first time and they've never heard of Keras Resources, explain or summarise for them what you're all about, please, Dave.
Yeah, so Keras Resources has a few prongs to it. One is we own a gold project in Australia that we're currently listing on the ASX and contains a lot of value for us. We're also busy in West Africa in both cobalt and manganese, targeting the battery market.
Yes, well, let's go into that. There was news released yesterday of the exploration licenses, 5 granted. So take us through the detail of that, if you could, please, Dave.
Yeah, so we've got 5 licenses granted for nickel and cobalt in southern Togo. There's been previous exploration on there, which has highlighted some pretty interesting anomalies. We've done some check sampling and chip sampling across some of those and getting some nice nickel and cobalt grades, where essentially the cobalt and nickel are almost the same value, and cobalt's obviously something that is in demand in cathodes in the battery industry. A lot of it comes out of the DRC, not the most stable of countries to source from. Mm-hmm. And so you've seen the cobalt price shooting up over the last 6 months, and we see it as a good commodity to be in, and hence one of the first movers of cobalt into West Africa.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at the way the economies are going, there's going to be sustained demand, isn't there, for cobalt for many years to come?
Oh, look, without a doubt. I think if you look at any of the research on the electric vehicles, that's why I've seen lithium and graphites having good runs, and I think you're seeing cobalt now as people start to look into detail in the chemistry of these batteries and the way that they're changing the world. Cobalt is certainly one which I think stands out from a supply issue that needs to be addressed.
Okay, so these licenses, what detail do you know about these licenses so far? Where are you with them, Dave?
Look, we've literally just been awarded them. We've got a lot of the old data. We're just getting that into a final compilation. We'll be out on the ground trenching, sampling, what have you, getting a bit of mapping feel for the geology, getting ready to look at a targeted drill campaign at some time in the future.
Okay, and as far as your gold project is concerned in Australia, how's that going? How's the listing looking?
Yeah, good. It's been a lot of work. Prospectus is available for download. We gave a link to that the other day, and notice of meetings are coming up. So a lot of paperwork's been done. I've been on the road the last week and all of this week, hence why my voice is a little croaky. Yeah. A couple more days to go into Asia, then we'll complete the roadshow, book build soon after, and all being equal, listing in early June.
Good stuff. And as far as, if you can sort of point out a sort of a timeline at Togo, what are you looking at? What's the plan of action there over the next sort of 6 months or so?
Look, Togo will just be, because it is early stage exploration, we'll just take it slowly. do it methodically, and really it just depends what we find in the field, you know, how quickly we move or don't move. In the meantime, obviously we're pushing with the twin approach on the manganese, needing a mining permit there, but as you can see from the quick award from when we announced we'd applied to the award of these exploration licenses of cobalt, you know, things are moving well in Togo, and you know, we obviously need to get the mining permit for the manganese as well, so we can get that into production, and that will provide a really nice base to assist with the cobalt exploration.
Excellent stuff, Dave. Well, if someone's listening right now, I like the diversity you have there, and you know, in two geographic areas now, in two different kinds of commodities, or three, and they're not following you on Vox Markets. Can you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
For sure. Well, look, I think we're going to have some serious value realised on the listing of the gold assets. You know, getting that well-funded, we can deliver a lot of results and resource increases. We're obviously moving into the battery segment and commencing exploration on the cobalt. And we're obviously aiming to be in production sooner rather than later on the manganese in Togo. So three very good reasons there.
Excellent, Dave. Good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
Cheers, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Bramhill, chairman of Union Jack Oil. That's UJO ticker. David, thanks for coming back on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. All the best to you.
Yeah, now you've just released your financial results for the year ended the 31st of December 2016. We'll go through some of the highlights of that in a bit. But before we do that, David, as always, if someone's listening to the podcast right now and has not heard of your company, can you explain in brief summary what it's all about, please?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. Union Jack is an onshore exploration, development and production company. And it's nice for you to have production in because we've got a modicum of production, and also we've got some proven reserves from our discovery in Wrestle, which we're increasing on, and we take interests we're not operators. We take interests in wells and projects, but are in the near future or maybe 6 to 9 months down the line, and we take an interest and we pay our way, and hopefully we have success. The best one so far has been Wrestle, so we're an onshore, totally focused UK company.
Yeah, and so I would suggest maybe you are on the risk curve. You're at the lower end, I suppose, aren't you?
We're the lower end. We're not. We will never ever find the reserves that the North Sea or the great big basins will produce. However, we would be looking, especially when Wrestle comes online, at some very, very good cash flow for the company, which cash flow equals survival. But as I say, it's a risk reward, and we like the risk reward, and so do some of the investors, a lot of the investors, because they've supported us for a few years now, we must be doing something half right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's go through some of the highlights, David, you see in your mind, from the operational and financial highlights, if you will, please.
Yeah, be very pleased to. As I say, they are highlights for me from last year, and we'd be looking for this year now. You know, last year's last year, but however, it was a good year. We've had a competent person's report in respect of Wrestle, which gave 14.8 million barrels of oil equivalent. That's pretty good for a UK onshore. We've acquired a 7.5% interest in Pedal 143, incorporating Homewood through already. Europa, the operators there, we look forward to drilling that in autumn this year, stuck in between Brock and Discovery with Angus, and also the Gatwick well with UCOG. And so you'd like to think that we get the same sort of success from that.
Yeah.
And also, as people know, we look for projects, we look for value, and our value attention keeps going to Pedal 180, Pedal 182 containing Wrestle. We've doubled our interest there from last year. We've gone from about 7% to 15%. You know, we like that project. You know, that's a kingpin project for us.
Yeah.
So that's the highlights. So looking forward to this year is to get the planning for Wrestle. It's been resubmitted, plus the appeal if needed, and obviously draw Biscuitfort and Homewood. That would be our year news flow. Financial highlights: we're well funded. We've got cash balances in excess of $2 million. It's enough for the projects we're involved in at the moment. And most importantly, the company remains debt-free, so we're in good shape.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at your market cap is about 5.6 million. And like you say, you've got two million
still
in cash.
Yeah. So, still very small, still small.
Yeah.
But exploration, production, and in the mining arena, there hasn't been flavour of the month because of low prices. All that turnaround, I've seen it loads of times in my lifetime. And this, you know, without sounding corny, every dog has its day. Mm-hmm. And we will.
Yeah, and what do you feel? I mean, you must be, part and parcel of the sentiment of the onshore in this country. I mean, do you feel like, authorities now, especially with Brexit happening, are more pro, explorers and drillers and, small oil companies? Because, like I said, you know, if we are leaving the European Union, we have to be a bit stronger, stand on our own feet.
It never was easy and never will be easy. But the risk-reward ratio is very, very good, and it's attracted quite a few new companies, focused onshore to UK, which is encouraging to see. And it's a niche, a niche product, really. But it is a niche product where, if you're lucky, you could make a lot of money out of this.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and apart from what you've mentioned here, are you always on the lookout for new investments, David?
Always on the lookout. We look at anything that comes along, but a lot of stuff. You know, we've got a good team, a great technical team, and also we've got some great people work for us outside independently. And it's very, very hard to find a decent project. You know, this is an issue we have with shareholders. They say, well, David, when are you going to buy this? Why don't you buy that? Do you know what? I'm happy with what we've got at the moment, and probably, unless something really, really special comes along, we'll stick within. We'll buy more of what we've already got. We know it. We like it.
Well, do you know what? That's the same kind of thing with investing in stocks and shares. People are always trying to look for the new stock or share. But if you've done research on the companies you own and you're happy and comfortable, why not buy more of it? And it's because you've done your due diligence and you're happy with it, you know, rather than going looking for another thing that's maybe not as good, you know? Exactly.
No,
so
like, there's always risk, of course, because of what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
But we do try and minimise the risk. We've got good people with us, and also our partners are good as well. So, you know, it's very little risk of upset that you're not going to hear about or know about.
Yeah. Okay, David, listen, if someone's listening to this right now and they like what you're doing there at Union Jack Oil, but they're not following you on Vox, can you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Yes, of course. I always say, as I always do, always risk. Any company involved in what we do is risk. However, we can say that the news flow throughout 2016, the projects are all in the annual report, which is actually up on our website at the moment, unionjackoil.com. So good news flow. We're fully funded for all the projects and also working capital. And we always do what it says on the tin. We endeavour to do that. And so far, so good.
David, good to speak to you. Hopefully speak again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Good luck. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Bonnie Hughes, mining specialist at Northland Capital Partners. Hey, Bonnie, you all right?
Yes, I'm great. Thank you, Justin. It's great to be on here again.
Yeah, and where are you originally from, Bonnie?
I'm from Canada, Toronto exactly, sort of the mining capital of the world.
Yes, all right, big it up. That's the okay, let's. So what are we going to talk about today, Bonnie?
Well, I wanted to talk about Cadence Minerals because I was at the one-to-one mining conference last week and I had a meeting with the CEO, Kiran, because I find what he's doing is very interesting. So basically, they have a 38 million pound market cap,
yeah.
And they are a publicly traded investment trust on the AIM. And so their investment philosophy is to buy companies which will benefit from the upcoming demand for batteries for electric vehicles and things like that. So the reason I like this company is because there's so many lithium companies to choose from these days. It's sort of a bit confusing for the average investor. Yeah. Whereas this, they, with the 38 million market cap, they're able to buy, you know, 4, 5, 6 different lithium companies that they believe are going to be the ones that will survive the cycle. Because, as you know, not all lithium companies survive, just like not all gold companies survive. And this way, for the average retail investor, it kind of it helps to diversify the risk. So, you know, the average investor is not going to have 38 million to put into 5 or 6 or 7 different lithium companies. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the investor can buy Cadence for what they think is they can afford as a nominal value. Like, let's face it, lithium is still a bit risky. Yeah. And they get an opportunity to benefit from the companies that are in the portfolio. And from my experience, you know, especially in regular mining, you know, you can buy sort of 10 early exploration or junior exploration companies and hope that one or two work out enough to cover what could potentially be your losses in all the other companies.
Yeah, but do you know what? I've had Kieran on the podcast a couple of times, and he was saying, he gives some awesome stats, actually. And one of them was about, you know, the chances, like you said, the slim chances that exploration companies have actually make it through to production. And he says it's really low percentage digits, you know, literally 2, 3, 4% of exploration companies make it through to becoming a production company. And that's why, you know, he said, we do a lot of research, and we are also invested at different levels of the development cycle. So we've got early exploration and some coming on to production. So it's a nice spread there, isn't it, of risk?
Yes, definitely it is. And he's got a nice sort of mix of companies in the portfolio. So he's also got like MacArthur Minerals. They have a lithium project, but they also have a really interesting copper project aside from that. And so some of those companies that are in the portfolio came out with news this week. So basically, Cadence exercised their warrants in MacArthur. And so basically, MacArthur Minerals got another 375,000 Canadian into their treasury. And so basically Cadence holdings in MacArthur went to 20.3%. Yeah. So that's quite a confidence in that company.
Yeah, exactly.
And then basically their other company, Auroch Minerals, Cadence owns about 7.8%. And they announced this week that they've just started drilling on their copper, zinc, lead, silver, gold project in Portugal. And their project is actually located along strike to Neves Corvo, which is Lundin's mine. So, you know, proximity is a very good thing for companies sometimes when you're in exploration phase.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And I'm just looking, they've got, how many projects they got? 1, 2, 3, I'm looking at the website, I think 4, 5.
3 lithium projects, yeah. And 2 rare earths.
Okay, excellent stuff. Yeah, and like I said, it's definitely the place to be, a space to be in. If you believe, and I think it's going to be the way with new tech using, you know, lithium and all this stuff, it's going to be a booming sort of commodity for a while, I think, isn't it?
Yes, and I think, well, I mean, there, as in anything, when the boom comes, you know, something that was a gold company becomes a lithium company. So I think you have to be aware that the lithium space can get a bit toppy here. And I think just for the average investor, understanding the prospects of a lithium company is a lot more complicated than understanding, you know, the prospects for a gold or silver company. And so I just think it's a much better way to play it. You know, let them do the homework and do, you know, do the process and the due diligence. And, you know, certainly I don't think that every single one of the companies that they ever invest in is going to be a 10-bagger, but certainly they do have a very good understanding of the market.
Absolutely, yes. And it's a bit of confusion, but the ticker symbol is KDNC for Cadence, and even though Cadence is spelled with a C. Cool. And any other thoughts there, Bonnie?
Well, their final results should be coming out by the end of this month.
Yeah.
So basically, their interims last for the June results, their assets increased from $19.5 million to $28 million. And so it should be interesting to see how their year-end results come out. And I think, you know, they'll probably be quite positive positive because some of the companies in the portfolio have been performing well. So it could be a little bit of a bump on the stock before the earnings come out.
Exactly. Marvellous stuff. Bonnie, thanks for that coverage of that, and hopefully speak next week.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Justin. Talk to you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five. Echo Energy. Apologise for that gag there. Ticker there is Echo at four. MySquare, MYSQ. Phenomenal rise. It's come back a bit today, but I think if it stays above 4.5, it may go higher. At three, always there, most followed company on Vox, Ascent Resources, AST. At two, I think it was number two yesterday as well, N4 Pharma, N4P. And number one, most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours is Westminster Group, WSG. By the way, volume was about four times average daily volume yesterday, and it's succeeded that already today. It's not even midday yet. Worth checking out, worth doing some research on. I think I wrote a blog on them a while back, about four weeks back, I think, or 3 weeks back. But essentially, they have this, their business is improving, all right? But also they have this contract hanging in the background, a Middle Eastern contract, which they keep mentioning, and they've been mentioning it since last year, and it's taken a lot of time to come through. But if it does land, there's about £500 million worth of revenue there, and it's about £35 million worth a year worth to them. And they're only 20 million market cap, so it's worth checking out. If it lands, the share price will obviously re-rate. That's WSG. Also, here we go. Top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five, Churchill Mining, update on annulment application. At four, Greatland Gold, GDP, agreement reached on Ernest Giles project. At three, Union Jack Oil, financial results. I spoke to David earlier on. For the year ended the 31st of December 2016. At two, Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR, final results. And number one, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets platform this morning was from Anglo African Oil and Gas, AAOG. That's the update on the first workover at Tilapia Oil Field. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening, by the way. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.